Now, our conference theme is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Now, what we do here, we give a conference theme, and then we allow the men to bring the message here, and it usually gels together and conforms to each other. But I want to thank God and the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, and I want to thank the saints of the Berean Bible Church, Columbus Bible Church, Miami Valley Church, and the Dispensational Bible Church for their support, and you for being here. And I know we're on the air right now. We're live through the Ohio Grace Ministries, Dispensational Bible Church YouTube channel. We have it going out. We found that out last night. We were talking about food and stuff, and the brother from Florida is like, the family said, we heard you. We saw you. So it's running continuously right now. But one thing about to have a child's understanding, because another understanding is being. Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things that you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people here. There's like 115 people in this room. So I can't assume that everybody here is saved. I can't assume that everybody's listening on this internet is saved. I used to assume that. So I'm not going to step on anybody's toes, but I'm going to share some verses with you before we get a message. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 3, I told you to get Ephesians chapter 1, but we're going to go through some verses first. But this is something very, very important that we should know. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for some have sinned. You know what it says? All have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. Anything short of the glory of God is sin. So, who's got a problem? All has got a problem. In verse 24, being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So God the Creator, God the Bible, has a solution. What is it? Redemption in Christ Jesus. Then verse 25 says, whom God has set forth a propitiation through the faith in His blood to declare that His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We have a responsibility. And now what is it? Faith in His blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the gospel of Christ, states this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel that I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now Christ died, was buried, and rose again, according to what? Popular Mechanic Magazine. No. The Scriptures. Okay, that should mean something to you. Because I'm telling you, people read books about the books about the books, but they won't read the book and believe the book. We have a final authority today, amen. And it's through the King James Bible, right. for the English-speaking people. We have accountability through that, and we need to understand that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. And if you trust that and that alone, plus nothing else, guess what you are today? You're saved. That's a glorious thing.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, we can rejoice. We can fellowship. I think Matt's done gone. We can eat pizza now. we can have some ice cream. We can have banana pudding. You can have anything you want. But anyway, the thing is about Christ Jesus that He died and was buried. Now, once you do that, once you're saved, guess what you got to do? You have to get into the Word of God. And you have to rightly divide the Word of God. And when you rightly divide the Word of God, you start to understand some things that God wants us to do today. Now, we know as children have a very difficult time understanding some things. Was you ever a child?
No.
Can you remember back as a child? Some of us don't want to remember back as a child. But when we had an understanding in a lot of matter, they have a difficult time. We also know that learning is to rightly divide a word of truth as directed through the distinct ministry of Apostle Paul is a process that allows us to grow into a full-grown son. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. There's a process here in understanding to be adults. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations work of patience, and patience experience, and spirits hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Think about this for a second. This is a growth process. It goes from tribulation, 0 to 20. You remember how you was with 0? There's some 0 to 20-year-olds in here right now. Tribulations. My hair's not right. This boy don't like me. This girl don't like me. You're going through tribulations. Even in the Word of God, when you start to get it in your body and in your soul, you're going to go through some tribulations. Then what it says? Patience. You're 20 to 40. Guess what you're doing? You're settling down a little bit. You might get married. You got a job. You have a little bit more patience. And then experience from 40 to 60. Many of us are at that age group right now. We're allowing the experiences that we had through tribulations and patience to work in our life. And then you have my age and beyond. And beyond. And that's the hope. And if you allow God's word to work in you, the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding will make a difference in your life. It really will. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I've heard Richard mention in the past that he called you up tonight and asked you what is the purpose statement, and what are you going to preach, or what's on your heart. This is one of the things that's on my heart. That verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, unto you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is very, very important to a believer. And having the eyes of your understanding be enlightened is a key of not walking around as a child, or not walking around blind. Now, my message title, is it still up? Oh, yeah. 2020 vision and walking around blind. Now, this comes from an old hillbilly song. And when I mentioned to the brother from the state up north, you know where that is. He says, Ed, I'm from Motown. And so Motown's going to meet hillbilly this week. But anyway, it comes from an old hillbilly song. I think Gene Autry first sung it. And it says, it starts out like, he says, I've been to the doctor. He says I'm all right, but I think he's lying because I'm losing my sight. He goes, he should have examined the eyes of my mind, 20/20 vision, and walking around blind. People has today, many people has, in a physical sense, 20/20 vision. But we also know many people has a clear vision. They think they have a clear vision on what the world has to offer today. And many people claims that they have a clear vision of God's working, God's word today. Many of us have to wear glasses to bring us to that vision, don't we? And many of them don't. But many people puts on spiritual eyes and claims that they can see clearly. And when you come to God's word, many of us claims to see that what God has to say. But you know what? They ignore the very importance of instructions, and they're walking around blind. And before, I will share this with you, before 1993, I truly thought I had a clear vision of understanding God's word. You know, I was brought up in the Southern Baptist Church. They taught me who Jesus Christ was. They taught me who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And I thought I knew the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But in 1993, a group of men started feeding us some things about the distinct ministry of Apostle Paul and the division in God's word between prophecy and mystery to Sherry and I. And the chances are we would still be walking around blind today if it wasn't for that group of men. Now, many of you have been in this situation that the group of men are teaching you some things and you're fighting with things. Listen, the Baptist church, what I went to, and the grace life, the grace believers, it's almost like it was together. But I had two things that I was warring with. They didn't have altar calls, and they didn't want to baptize. So these dry cleaners that was introducing me to this message, I'm going to go out and prove that baptism meant water. Okay? Guess what happened? When you allow the Word of God to teach you, it don't mean water. It does not mean water. And I thought I had the wisdom of God's Word, but my eyes of understanding was dimmed. Dimmed. So the battle between law and grace, the battle between prophecy and mystery, was warring in my inner man. He was warring, because I was like, what do I do? What do I do? So I had to make a decision. It wasn't your word. It wasn't Ed's word. It was God's word. God's word makes the difference, guys. So I had to make a decision about that. This is right. And if this was right, I wanted to be right.
Amen.
That's all I want to do, be right. Right. I've been wrong all my life. But at this point, I want to be right, because what? The word of God's right. So that's what you got to have.
Right.
So I got out on my knees that night. And I said, Lord, if this is right, I want to be right. And it's almost like, and I've shared this many times before. Remember that old sardine can with the key? And you stuck it on there. If you didn't stick it on there right, broke off, and you're like, my sardines. Right, get in the pliers, and my fingers, and you're bleeding. But the thing is, you put that key on there right, and you start twisting it back. And you know what? It was like my whole mind opened up. And I have not fought against the Word of God, rightly divided, ever since.
Amen.
And we know we talked about charts, and we've been accused of chart people and all that stuff. That's not the issue. The issue is a timeline, knowing where you at in God's Word. So the next 7 years, we was in the work of the ministry. One of the things about this conference, and a conference like this, we can network, and we can come together, finding out who in West Virginia that needs a pastor or a preacher, who in northern Ohio that has assembly going on or want to start something, this is a good time to get together. So we encourage that. So in the next 7 years, my wife and I helped start 3 churches in the Virginia, Tennessee area, even conferences. So we was behind the scenes working. And then in the year 2000, we moved up to Ohio. And we helped start another ministry here. And in 2001, I enrolled in Grace School of Life. Greatest thing I ever done. Greatest thing in my schooling. In fact, from Quincy, Illinois, to Madison, Ohio, 611 miles, I go through 2 tapes in the tractor trailer. And you're like, how do you do that? Well, I had a VCR tape and speakers right here. And I listen. That's where I still do that today. Not the VCR tape. I still renew my mind with the schooling doctor. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I enrolled in school in 2004. I graduated. In 2005, I desired the office of a bishop. And we started a church in our home. And that same year, they built a police station, dispatch station, the bottom of this community room. And we started right there, and we've been there since 2005. And we're known as a Little Grace Church under law. And we're probably one of the safest churches that you can ever go into. And I think it might be bulletproof, I don't know. But anyway, if you know where you're going for eternity, that don't scare you, you know. But I know that you can meet. It doesn't matter if you want to meet under a tree. You know, you can meet under at a stump or something. But that's where we're at today. And we have a little church motto there called, we say, study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. The Bible's on way. Okay, that's rightly dividing the word of truth. And I do really treasure the saints. There are many of them here today, and that's allowed us to grow there. But in order to get a clear understanding of God's word and what we have to do, what do you have to do? I just mentioned it a few minutes ago. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. It's truth from cover to cover. Don Holly said, kibber to kibber. You know, it's cover to cover is inspired by God. God breathed. And you have to, and it's truth, and it's not truth against error, it's truth against truth. And you have to understand that. But if you allow the Bible to mean what it says and says what it means, your understanding will no longer be darkened. And the very ones that brought me into this gospel, the grace of God, no longer believes this truth. And I was talking with Richard last night a little bit. I said, it seems like every year there's somebody that wants to say, fall off the wagon, or no longer believes this. The very men, I had six men assigned my ordination, and one of them's going to be with the Lord. Three of them still with us today in the doctrine. Two of them's not. And I'm sharing this with you because when you have 20/20 vision, you can still walk around blind. And that and it's very, very important to know that. And you may ask, how can that be? Have you ever asked that? How can they go back into that? How can they go back into what they came out of? You know, I'm thankful that they was in it long enough to share it with me. But, you know, that's one thing you don't do. You don't control them. You allow the grace doctrine to work in their life, and hopefully they will stay the course, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes the things get tough. Sometimes the man wants to be the preacher, and the woman don't want nothing to do with it, and vice versa. You know, when you have somebody in your home, if you have a married a man and woman, and they're together in a ministry, that's a good thing. You know, that's what we want. That's what you, how you go. But the thing is, you asked how did you go back into darkness or just stop working in the ministry? I quit counting on my hands and toes how many people that was been up here with me, ministered to me. I ministered them and no longer with us. When I say with us, I don't mean dead. I mean standing for the truth of the doctrine. This is important. This is something that right. People have to know, because you have to make this decision.
That's right.
And when you think about that, I do believe this. It can happen to any one of us.
That's right.
Any one of us.
Right.
The attack of the Satan, satanic policy of evil is real, my brother. It's real. And it's going to get between your two ears, and this is where the battle's at. And I'm gonna share this if I can see. I get emotional up here, so that you just gonna have to show me grace. But you know, in the year 2020, the big pandemic got a lot of people sidetracked, and we know a lot of people couldn't meet. And we know a lot of people in the state of Ohio, the governor never did shut churches down. But some of the places where we met in the police station, they wouldn't have lost there. So that was kind of hard, and many of us couldn't meet. My own personal eyes became deep. Now, I knew the wisdom, the knowledge, but my eyes of understanding was losing that focus. We couldn't meet as a group, and that affected my mind. It affected a lot of y'all's mind, and it's still affecting people's minds today. Because they're kind of leery about getting back together. Well, if you're saved today, what are you worried about?
Amen.
Yeah.
The worst thing you do is going to die and go to heaven. I tell people all the time, I got one foot on earth and one in heaven. I'm living the best life of my life, age of my life right now. We live in a great time for this truth. You know that. And even the young kids, we look at these kids and go, oh, well, I pray for you. You know, you ain't going to. They're going to be all right.
That's right.
You know, they're going to be all right. I remember my great uncles under the oak tree. They'd be, you know, listen, I come from large families. They'd be 12. My great uncle's sitting there, oh, that boy's going to have trouble. That boy ain't going to make it. Next, it ain't that. I'm looking at my kids. Oh, they might not make it. They're going to be okay, especially when they got this gospel and they're saved. Hey, you're saved today. That's half the battle.
Amen.
Then when you get in the Word of God, that's where the real battle starts. The war is going to happen. But what I would do We couldn't meet in Canton, so we live in Cambridge here, 65 miles one way to church. So I'd climb on my bed, I'd go down some spiral staircases, and guess what I was preaching to? A camera. I was still reaching some of the saints, but the thing is, I would preach to whoever was there, but guess what was not there? Fellowship, accountability. Accountability. There was no fellowship during those times, and I started to think, is this the future? You know, I think of Grace School Bible, and when they came out with videotapes, right? VHS. And they went to go the extension, using videotapes for extensions. I went between videotapes to CDs, so I was in that time range. But they laughed at you, didn't they? They said, that ain't going to work. What are they doing today? What are the higher learning institutions doing today? Hey, has your tuition went down? No. State of Ohio had a thing about you take your tax money and go to the school of your choice. Well, they determined that it's 8,000 some odd change per child. They would allow you to take $5,000 of that to go to school of your choice. You're still making $3,000, not even messing with the children. So, you know, that kills me. But anyway, when you start thinking about yourself and not others, you're going to fall. When you don't have accountability and you're up here with just by yourself, you're going to fall. And listen, many of us just wonder about numbers. How many you got in your church? How many you got in that church? Don't fall for that. I was taught to fly one flag in this message. And you don't worry about who's behind you, because if you're preaching the right message, who's behind you? You're going to have the right saints, and you want them there. So you can lose your 20/20 vision and walk around blind. Now, I started thinking about, when we were talking about school and stuff, I started about 2000. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And around 2002 was that soldier training meeting in Chicago. That's an annual meeting. And Ted and I was back there, where the camera was, and the old building was back there. And this place is rocking with not music, but the word, and the people was excited. And you're talking about 2000, and I'm young, and I'm learning. And I looked at Ted, I said, who's going to keep this message going? And he looked at me and said, you are. And I'm like, you know what that did? That resonated down in my soul. That put a charge on me. This is before I even finished the school. This is before I even desired the office. I used to sit back there in that back row and I work myself up. Because it's not about me. It's about the Word of God teaching it the right way. So anyway, it was like he put the responsibility on me. You did. And he did it for a reason. And not that, you know, you know what I'm talking about. If you desire this, if you desire good work, and we need men and women like that. And I will never forget that. You know what he did? He lit a powder keg. I was already bold because of the teachings over there. I was taught that if you have an opportunity, you back up and dump all the polling truth on them, because you may never see them again. You ever talk about scriptures and their eyes go, it's time to just walk away. You know, we got too much on them. But the thing is, one of the things that keeps me straight for all these years is the school's curriculum. And I've been teaching the school at our local church since 2005. And I asked Richard before, I said, you know, who's going to keep this school going? You know, who? He says, you are. The thing is, when you go through the school, and when you go through this understanding, there's a curriculum there. You don't have to worry about preaching, you know, off things. It never gets old, guys. And I learn something each time I teach that. Every time I teach the book of Romans, I learn something new. You know, we're going through fundamentals of dispensation right now. And going through that alone, just keep renewing your mind, will keep you straight. And I learn something every time, and it holds my feet to the fire. The Word of God's going to hold my feet to fire anyway. Fire. I remember the saints that man come here and goes, huh? Fire. F-I-R-E. Fire. But anyway, you know, you don't have to go off wondering about the scriptures and teaching what if this and what if that. That's what happens to a lot of people. They think they know it all. They lose their sight. Their knowledge, their eyes of understanding gets dim, and they got all the head knowledge and heart knowledge, but they don't allow the work in them, and they go out teaching stuff. Listen, I've been in conferences for a long time and sit there at midnight talking to people, and they want to know how many hairs on Paul's head. They want to know if there's dinosaurs on the ark. You know, you're looking at, I kid you not, they're no longer with us. So when you stay true to who you are and stay true with what you've been taught, you won't stray. Listen, there's nothing wrong with wondering, nothing wrong with digging, searching, and things of that type of thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But bring it to the brothers that you know you can trust, and bounce it off of them sometimes. Talk to them a little bit. Say, hey, I've been thinking about this. I've done that for years. You know what unlimited coverage is? Data, phone service. Ted told me one time, Ted said, Ed's got unlimited phone service and he's trying to use every bit of that. Look, when you're looking at the world through a windshield, you can solve anybody and everybody's problem. I'm serious. But anyway, getting back to the people that was once enlightened have turned towards other doctrines, or even turned the ways that they were before they were saved. Go to Ephesians chapter 17. Oh, excuse me. Chapter 4. I'm using Ed's version today. But anyway, I was cleaning out some files, and I picked up my ambassador class test scores here. And it's dated back in 2004. And my grader wrote in red, he goes, 100%, A+, very good. Especially number 13 through 15, don't ever forget that info. Now some of you have been through the school, do you remember what questions 13, 14, 15, the bridges don't know? But it made me dumb on that because the guy graded my paper. It's not with us. But anyway, that's why I say it could happen to anybody. But thank God he graded my paper. Not just, anyway, 13 goes, and Ted really reached on this last night. When you preach to a lost man, how does the word affect them and bring them to salvation? Baby, milk, you bring that type of thing. 14 says, explain the process of maturity and edification. 15 says, the problem with reversionism is detailed in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And that's what the second part of this is about. Reverting back to where you was when you was lost. Reverting back to where you was don't want to do it no more. So, verse 17. To me, this explains why people are the way they are and goes astray. And if you look at it with me, now many of you know Cornelia Stam's books. I have every one of them, but I don't promote the book, but there's one of them there, Holding Fast the Faithful Word. And the school curriculum helped me understand what people are going through. Even the book that he wrote back, 40s or 50s, what it was? He went through some things, if you look at that, that deals with universalism, that deals with baptism, churchmen, and you're reading that like,
Wow.
So it's nothing new that people won't jump over. So the curriculum and the book and the Word of God, the King James Bible, will keep you straight. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore to testify to the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye, putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This passage is warning the saints about reverting back to where you was as a Gentile. Now, did Paul write to those lost people? Out of his 13 epistles, does he write to lost people? No, he don't. So he's warning the saints about walking the way he was in the Gentiles. And that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, as what? In the vanities of their mind. This is how a believer reverts back. The vanity of their mind. Human viewpoint. I'm using the what I made an A plus on. But anyway, vanity of the mind. That's human viewpoint. You know what? When you have human viewpoint, you know what happens? You form to law. You're negative to sound doctrine. Now, the sound doctrine that Paul talked, you know, when he talks about doctrine, it's sound doctrine. It's not doctrine. Sound, unmovable doctrine. Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ, did he preach doctrine? How about Moses? They had doctrine. But Paul talks about sound doctrine. And when you have the vanity of your mind, the human viewpoint, the negative understanding, that's what happens. Listen, we homeschooled our kids. We put them in Christian schools. We protected them. The minute they got out in this world, guess what happened? Boom! They're like, whoa. That void that you thought you had filled entered their mind. And that's when you look at them, you got to say, I know where you're at. And you just, we tell our kids all the time, and their mom's baby's 28, so I won't tell him much about it anymore. But the thing is we say, don't please mom and dad. Please the one who died for you.
Amen.
And that takes you out of the picture and puts Lord Jesus Christ right where they need to see him. And the understanding is darkened. You know how their understanding darkened? Because of Romans 1:21 says, because that which they knew God, they glorified him not as God, they were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They claim to have 20/20 vision, but what are they doing? Walking around blind. They're walking around blind. They're understanding. Then it says, alienated from the life of God through ignorance. You know what they do? They go right back, like Ephesians chapter 2. They go right back to where they was, where we all had our conversations in time past, where we all was lost. Hey, you know what that verse says right there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? Wherefore, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And you know what verses 11 and 12 says about being circumcised with his uncircumcision by the flesh? Alienated from the in times past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Is that a good thing? You know, that right there should scare a non-believer to death. Nobody in my young Christian life ever pointed that verse out to me. And when I saw that, I was like, whoa, this is serious. You mean to tell me I was without Christ? As a child, growing up? Scripture said I was. Now, don't get me wrong. You can get saved at a young age. Y'all know that. But this is serious, guys. And this is the way you're walking around. Not you, but the way people reverting back the way they was. And then the blindness of the heart. Vanity means empty. Vacuum is created. And that when you're negative towards sound doctrine, your mind is empty, and that sucking noise starts. I remember Ross Perot said, that sucking noise you hear, it's your job to go into Mexico. There's a sucking noise that's going on in there, and you're trying to feel it. You're looking for everything in the world. A lot of people just, they want a quick fix. Listen, the solution is staying in a doctrine. No matter where you're at in your life, you have to stay with a sound doctrine. And it's a battle. It's not just going to come easy. The winds of the doctrine from the world is influenced from the satanic policy of evil. Listen, there's a battle out there. Whether you're political or religious, it's still evil against good. Good against evil. What side are you on? Listen, there's people tell you all the time, where's your God at? You and your paper God. That's what they think about the Bible. Your paper God. God is the good. You know, he says he magnifies his word above his own. He treasures this word. And when people just don't see God out there, direct them and stuff like that, it's a good thing we don't think. You think about this for a second. When you talk to people, just because God is not doing things like he did in times past, they think there's no God around. You better be thankful that God is proclaiming grace and peace today, because if he is proclaiming war and judgment, earth would be split open right now, and 30-some thousand people voluntarily falling. Just because you don't see him don't mean he's real. We're people of the Bible, and we believe it by faith. Now, producing a blackout in your understanding, creating darkness in your soul, and makes it difficult to operate the sound doctrine that's been stored up. You know what you're doing? You're walking in darkness. It can happen to any of us. And blackout results from the alienation of the life of God. When you don't allow the life of God work in you, if you don't allow the word of God work in you, it's going to create darkness. Listen, 2020 was a bad time. There's not one of us didn't walk in darkness then. We couldn't see each other. We couldn't feel each other. We couldn't be with each other. That's not good. This alienation is through ignorance, and to them that is blindness in their hearts. Listen. I keep saying this. I get on my wife all the time. She goes, listen. What point that's my nail in it? And I said, don't you say consider this? just lighten the load a little bit. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. But the thing is, just consider the Word of God. Just consider things. You know, when you take, it takes you back where you all begins. And when you're negative towards sound doctrine, that's why people revert back the way they was in their lives. They think they know it all in that Bible. Listen, I don't know nothing, but I know what it's not. That's helped me more than anything. I know that we're not in times past. I know we're not in ages to come. But I do know we're in what? But now. And I'm learning every day. Now, you know that old saying, lead a horse to water, but you can't make him want to drink? You know how you make a horse drink? You salt the oats. And our speech is supposed to be seasoned with what? Salt. If you salt, not water it down or salt it down, but when your speech was salt with the Word of God, people's going to get thirsty. You did. Many of you sitting there right now say, I wish I had somebody to teach to. I wish I had. Well, You can't find nobody dumber than he was? Yes, you can. I know you can. But the blind heart, to blind the heart is to cover over. It's similar to calluses. I've got calluses on my hands right now. A lot of us doing this, driving a truck. But also exercise. And I'm like, this will never go away. Seems like it never builds up. But you don't want your heart to be calloused. And when that sign doctor can't get in there and you start building that callous, you know, woe is me and all that stuff, and you're building up, it's going to get hard. And you know, John talks about, shows you about the lack of understanding. And about already the things that you got to consider. Paul, I'm speeding up a little bit because I know time's getting away from me. I thought I had a fast message. But anyway, a sound doctrine can remove the calluses on the soul. When a believer becomes positive towards sound doctrine, and God, through His Spirit, will give the repentance that acknowledges to the truth. Now, 2 Timothy 2:24, I think the brothers won't use that verse tomorrow, so I'm not going to step on him, his toes on the thing. But the passage in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 to 26, deals with a way that you can recover that guy that went in reversionism, that you can recover him coming out of the snares of the devil and all. So I'm going to leave that for the brother in the morning to bring that truth out. But the thing is about, even though many will continue to ignore the truth of God's word, rightly divided, with blind eyes and deaf ears, but I'm going to continue to share and expose the errors that are bound to. Listen, we have to be bold. You know, we have to be understanding naturally, but you're going to have to stand for truth, guys. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't walk on this side, walk on that side. Shoot straight. I appreciate the brothers when I talk to them all the time. I miss the elderly brothers that's gone on before. Brother Morris, he told me to share this with you. Don't forget about this thing. Don't forget about the doctor. Don't forget about how what you share. He told me about the time. He told me he had a phone meeting each Monday night with the people in Texas. And he says, and then he got, you know, Morris is kind of sick right now, so he had to not do that. He said the guy called him up and thanked him for the time that he had. That the couple was going to a Lutheran church, and they went to, they couldn't get to the priest, the pastor, what do they call them, guys, with a collar or hats or whatever. But the thing is, he went to them, so they had to meet with the council. And they was sharing, said, your doctrine's wrong. And you know what they gave them? Right foot of fellowship. Leave. And Morris was trying to encourage them to stay. I said, no, Morris. It would just cause more problems. Let them go and start their own church. But this is serious. I miss them. And when I talk to other brothers here, you know what they use? They don't use circumstances. They don't use winds of doctrine. They use Scripture. And that's the only thing that keeps us alive. It's kept me alive. Outside my wife. But she, you know, the thing is, you know, the Word of God, it will keep you straight. Now, Colossians, I'll share these two verses with you right quick. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's going to be people out there that comes after you. There's going to be people out there that's going to try to tell you this and tell you that. And many of you are smarter than the average person out there. Listen, if this old truck driver can understand the Word of God and stand for it, you can too. We've had at our church PhDs standing out there, and they couldn't get over, or sitting there, couldn't get over one little word by the cross. Oh, it's at the cross. It's at the cross. No, it's by the cross. And it's what Christ did at Calvary for every one of us. And through the Apostle Paul, it isn't exciting to know that, you know, when the Bible talks about his blood was shed for many? Well, many of us are wearing glasses. Many of us are not. So the ones that are wearing, wearing glasses, he shed his blood for you. But you don't get to know, understand all till you get to who. And we understand it through God, Jesus Christ, and Apostle Paul made it very clear that by the cross, that vehicle that we can identify with his death and burial resurrection. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walked disorderly and not after the traditions which he have received." There's going to come a time that you might have to say, "I love you, brother, but I can't be with you." I remember a dear saint, and I love them dearly. Many of you know him. He chose to go for the world, and I was warm with him because we talked every day. I was trying to burn that unlimited plant up. I mean, every day, three or four times a day. And he went towards the world, and there's a verse about in there in Corinthians about eating with the brother. And I asked him to teach me about that verse. You know what he said? Believe the verse. And since that point on, I don't know how many years, I have not talked to him since. And that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts when you have to draw the line. But the thing is, they can come back out of the snare. You just be patient. You understand some things about the Word of God, and you just let the Word work in them. If they believed it, you can have head knowledge, but you have to get that down in that soul and that heart. And when you got it there, Ted mentioned last night, many people gets the grace message, but very few does this grace message get. And once it's got you, you know, it takes root. It ain't coming out. It ain't coming out. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to you, that you stand fast and you continue to study the Word of God and continue to surround yourself with like-minded believers. Yeah. We need each other. We might seem like a remnant out there, like, "Oh, we only got 2 people here. We only got 5 people here. We got 25. Don't worry about the numbers. Worry about staying straight with the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, that came to this earth and died and buried and rose again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a few minute break, and after the song right here, Brother Richard Jordan is going to be coming up. He's the president of Grace School of Bible, and we'll give him some liberty to talk. And our hope is here for
Perfect.